1. As the third volume of memoirs is published this Christmas, we hear from Lady Glenconner about cocktails with Kate Moss, the festive season at Holkham, and how she was the inspiration for Downton Abbey.
You probably don't know this, but I'm the original Lady Mary. Lady Glenconner casually drops into our conversation. What? Downton Abbey's Lady Mary? The very same. It's unexpected revelations like these that make interviewing Lady Glenconner such an absolute joy. Living life to the full in her 90s, the former lady-in-waiting to Princess Margaret and maid of honour at the late Queen's coronation, who grew up at Holkham Hall, has written a third volume of memoirs, Manners and Mischief. The title perfectly sums up its subject, and told through an A to Z of her life, it brings together reflections on everything from affairs to amateur dramatics and men to Mustique, the far-flung island that she and her husband turned into a paradise for the rich and famous. There are anecdotes about everyone from Princess Margaret and how to lose at cards to her, to Kate Moss, with whom she enjoyed a cheeky morning Mustique Mule cocktail or three. But first, let's get back to the not insignificant matter of how she inspired one of the biggest TV series of the last decade or so. The premise of Downton Abbey was that Lord and Lady Grantham had failed to produce a male heir, and archaic rules meant that their eldest daughter, Lady Mary, would be unable to inherit the estate, and it would pass to a cousin instead. It cropped up in conversation whilst chatting about the auction coming up in November of some of her possessions at Bonhams. Lady Glenconner had decided to give up her flat in London and sell off some of the furnishings that she no longer had room for. One of the reasons behind the sale was that she wanted to raise money for her son, Christopher, who has been left disabled following a motorcycle accident. Items for sale included a 9-carat gold Cartier box given to her by the late Queen, photographs of her taken by Cecil Beaton, gowns designed by Carl Toms for the legendary Peacock Ball on Mustique, and her wedding dress, which was designed by Sir Norman Hartnell. Bonhams had just held a Downton Abbey sale where they sold all the clothes used, says Lady Glenconner. But I am the original Lady Mary because Julian Fellowes based Downton Abbey on me and my two sisters because I couldn't inherit Holkham. So at Bonham's sale, they put my wedding dress next to Lady Mary's wedding dress and said, if you want to buy something from the real Lady Mary, there it is. That's all quite exciting for me. Lady Glenconner was born Lady Anne Cook in 1932, the eldest daughter of the 5th Earl of Leicester. She married Lord Glenconner in 1956, and in 1958 she and her husband began to transform the island of Mustique. They granted a plot of land to Princess Margaret, who built her favourite home there. She was appointed lady-in-waiting to Princess Margaret in 1971 and kept this role, accompanying her on many state occasions and foreign tours until the princess's death in 2002. Lord Glenconner died in 2010, leaving everything in his will to a former employee. Having spent most of her life in the background, Lady Glenconner came to the fore in 2019 when her first memoir, Lady in Waiting, was published. That book and the sequel, Whatever Next, are packed with fascinating royal revelations and jaw-dropping anecdotes. The glamour and privilege sits alongside devastating personal tragedies, the deaths of two of her sons and the terrible accident that befell her third, and the abuse she suffered at the hands of her husband. She's also turned her hand to writing fiction, with two mysteries, one set at Holkham and the other on Mustique. Her books have sold more than 1 million copies worldwide, and she receives fan mail at her farmhouse near the Holkham estate from around the globe. Now aged 93, she says she's having the most fun that I've ever had in my life. I'm terribly excited about my new book, she says. I think it's going to be my last book at my age. I just thought, well, I'll write about the things that I didn't say in the other books. I thought that I'd do an A to Z because nowadays a lot of people don't want a great thick book. They seem to like to dip into a book. And being an A to Z, it focused my mind on what I'd talk about, which was very helpful. The book starts as it means to go on, with A for affair, which came from a surprise discovery she made in her mother's possessions. When my mother was young, people had these little tiny cases where they kept all the things that they really cared about, special letters, that kind of thing. Anyway, my mother had one, and I'd never been able to open it because the lock was so stiff. I asked one of my twin daughters if she could try to open this little case, and she got it open, and there were lots of letters from the Queen Mother and the Queen and from Prince Charles when he was at school. And then at the bottom, there was something wrapped up in brown paper. I got it out, and it was my father's diary that he kept in Egypt, and it was quite a shock to hear that he was madly in love with somebody else, not my mother. And so I thought, there's A for affair, and off I went. The book is a reminder that life, at any age, should be faced with humour and heart. It's no longer the grand things that thrill me, it's the everyday pleasures, says Lady Glenconner. She provides a unique perspective on royalty and celebrity, and the book is peppered with wonderful anecdotes. The King is a dear friend, who she has known since he was young. My mother was a lady-in-waiting to the Queen, and because she's never been to boarding school, when Prince Charles had childhood diseases like mumps or measles and that sort of thing, he used to come to Hokum with his nanny. He absolutely adored my mother, and she taught him how to do pottery, and I think that made a lot of difference to him when he went off to school at Gordonstoune, where he was very unhappy. I've got lots of letters that he wrote to my mother thanking her for sending him books on pottery. And my father taught him eel fishing. I see him quite a bit because I'm so near Sandringham. I go off and have supper with him and we talk about the very happy times we spent at Hokum. She also recalls happy days at Sandringham with Princess Margaret. They've got a golden Buddha in the garden and I remember spreading out a picnic around the Buddha. Actually, people go there now and stroke the Buddha. There's something tactile about it. And I also remember line dancing in the hall there. Princess Margaret and the Queen were very keen on that. The rock star Bryan Adams is a friend, as he has a home on Moustique. When he last played a concert at Thetford Forest, he invited Lady Anne and her twin daughters along. "We had a wonderful time," she says. "We went to see him in his caravan before he went on stage and chatted, and then we sat in the back of the stage. It was extraordinary because he's a very quiet person, actually, and thousands of people were waiting, and he suddenly morphed into this amazing singing." In the book, she tells a wonderful anecdote about meeting Kate Moss at a brunch Brian was giving at his home on Moustique. "He's a vegan, and so we were given a green smoothie made of cabbage or something. I quite enjoyed it," she says. However, when he went out to take a phone call, Kate suggested something a little stronger. "It was only 11 o'clock in the morning," she said. "Shall we go for a drink?" And I said, "Yes." "We had three Moustique mules and a very jolly time. I like her very much. She's really fun." As well as enjoying getting out and promoting Manners and Mischief this month, Lady Glenconner says she's looking forward to Christmas in Norfolk, when she'll have a house full of grandchildren and great-grandchildren. "I'm quite excited already about Christmas," she says. "It is so lovely if you've got children staying. It makes all the difference. I take them into the park at Hokum and I say, 'Look, there's Father Christmas's deer, and they're going to have such a busy night there and they're having a rest here.' And the children love that." Christmas growing up at Hokum sounds magical. The Christmas tree used to be in the long gallery with real candles on it, and two footmen used to stand either side, and when a candle got low, they replaced it. It could easily have caught fire, she remembers. "We used to give a party for all the children on the estate in the marble hall, and we had a big table full of presents and a Punch and Judy show. We used to skate on the lake at Hokum when we had very cold Christmases. I remember going out of lunch on Christmas Day, skating on the lake and wearing Father Christmas hats." All the tenant farmers on the estate used to receive a Christmas cake, and Lady Glenconner and her sister Carrie were allowed to help create them. "We thought we were doing a great job decorating them, but I think probably they were redecorated after," she says. And has she made a start on her Christmas shopping? "This year I'm very lucky because I've given up my flat in London. I've got lots of things that I've got no room for. So this Christmas, whether they like it or not, they're all getting things that belong to me. I live so near Wells next to the sea, and there's a shop called This and That which sells everything, and so everything I need I buy in Wells. Or if I do need clothes, which I do because I do a lot of talks, my daughter-in-law takes me to Norwich and I go to Gerald's." While she's travelled the globe, there is, Lady Glenconner says, no place like Norfolk. They say that the Cokes come back in the end to Norfolk. I'm so lucky to live where I do. I can see the Hookham Wall from one of my bedroom windows, she says. I married Colin in 1956. I left Norfolk and I went all over the world. But my father thought very wisely that my dear husband might be a bit flaky and a bit unpredictable, and that I should have somewhere of my own to live. I just love Norfolk. It's part of me. Manners and Mischief, an A to Z of a Life Lived Well by Lady Glenconner, is out now. Published by Bedford Square Publishers, priced £18.99. Lady Glenconner will be signing copies at Hookham Gift Shop on December the 7th between 2 and 4pm. A magical Hookham Christmas. Each year, thousands of visitors flock to Hookham Hall to see it beautifully decorated for Christmas. And this year's seasonal display promises to be bigger, bolder and even more magical than ever. From November the 28th to December the 30th, Hookham Hall by candlelight transforms the Palladian house into a glowing festive wonderland where every room tells its own story, inspired by fairy tales, family traditions and artistic creativity, featuring lavish installations from award-winning florists, creators and makers, from a chocolate banquet worthy of Willy Wonka to a starlit night before Christmas suite, Hansel and Gretel house in a sugar-dusted forest and a serene partridge in a pear tree installation. This year, the hall will be all wrapped up for Christmas, welcoming guests with a red bow over the vestibule. In the lead-up to Christmas, visitors can explore the hall at their own pace on a self-led visit from November the 28th to December the 19th, or there are guided tours on December the 4th, the 11th and 15th. Room by Room are the Marble Hall, which will have a classical red, gold and pearl theme with live music under the famous Roman-inspired dome. The North Dining Room will be decorated with fresh florals and winter greenery by florist Hannah Hunman, elevated with luxurious Summerhill and Bishop table linens for Christmas dining inspiration. In the statue gallery, enter Hansel and Gretel's world, a pink-tinged snowy forest with a gingerbread house and sweet-inspired wonderland by stylist Alice King. In the south sitting room is a whimsical Night Before Christmas installation, complete with a starlit ceiling and bespoke swags by Boomting Bunting. In the saloon, Hookham's 14-foot tree from Sal Estate will be dressed in a warm gold, creating a classic Christmas centrepiece. The south dining room is the setting for a naughty elves breakfast scene, a playful table brimming with vibrant, hyper-real food, capturing the fun of Christmas morning when elves have taken over the breakfast table, crafted by the Fake Food Workshop. The landscape room hosts a poetic take on a partridge in a pear tree, incorporating Holcomb's tweed, bowler hat and grey partridge conservation story. The chapel is a reflective space with a light and sound installation by Audio Resolution, candles and nativity touches for quiet moments. And in the old kitchen, food artist Sarah Hardy of the Edible Museum creates a feast featuring a roast turkey, pigs in blankets and all the trimmings, all made from chocolate. Hookham's Christmas installations champion local suppliers and artisan skills. Decorations feature locally grown greenery, reusable decorations and Norfolk-based creatives. The Countess of Leicester explains, "From the very beginning, my ambition was to create a Christmas at Hookham that felt different, imaginative, elegant and rooted in craftsmanship rather than commercialism." Other festive highlights at Hookham include carols in the courtyard on December the 11th, the popular Christmas market, which is on December the 12th to the 14th, an audience with Father Christmas, December the 21st to the 23rd, and a canine carol service on December the 22nd for dogs and owners alike in aid of Break Charity. There's also an array of creative Christmas workshops. Hookham is extending the magic into Twixmas, that's December the 27th to the 30th, inviting guests to savour peaceful winter walks in Hookham Park and on Hookham Beach and seasonal treats in the Courtyard Cafe. Festive stateroom tours continue during this period, but early booking is recommended. For full details and to book, visit hookham.co.uk.